Good morning. Welcome to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. What's happening,
Keith? Good morning, guys.
How you doing over there?
It's all good.
How's the real estate business? Has it all just quit?
It doesn't seem that way.
I disagree. Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
If you read the national news, you'll think
it's
the
over.
Pendulum has swung to the buyer's side.
Yeah.
That's what the big conversation
there in
may
be some places it has, but not but in Greenville.
Not in the
South
southeastern
Carolina.
United States, yeah. I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people out there still looking and buying. And
no, the migration is in full swing.
Yep, I heard now, I heard this week on the radio that there are 10,000 people a day turning 65.
Wow. I think I might be one of them, the way I feel.
It's not about how you feel, Jason.
Oh,
it's about how
you actual age. Okay.
Statistically, you have to be.
Yeah. I still got a little ways for that.
Yeah, absolutely. But what are you seeing out there in the market, Keith?
I see it very active.
Still healthy, rocking along.
Inventory's limited. I will say that if you look at the numbers, we are always late to the party, so to speak. There's a lag time, it seems, between our market
and the national market.
In the national market, and in particular, Charleston. Charleston usually moves before us. And we are seeing some changes, but what's unique about Greenville is what I continue to call the migration to Greenville. It's just our population. We're one of the fastest growing cities in the country. I don't know statistically what that means, but I read it on a regular basis. And so, you know, I'm bullish on real estate in the upstate for the next 20 years.
Wow,
20 years.
You'll be long retired by then.
Yep, they might get that construction zone finished by then.
Yeah.
Actually, it's one more year of that, 85 and 385.
One more year. Well, JD, what kind of activity did you see this week? What was happening out there?
You know, I call it a variety of activity.
Yep.
You know, and I think this kind of echoes maybe what Keith is saying or is implying. I have a lot of first-time home buyers. There's people who are out there looking in that 140 to 225 range. A lot of people, you know, in maybe 125 to 225 range. I have a lot of people that are out there moving up into the, you know, trophy home or buying a home and then want to do renovations to make it their trophy home. A lot of people moving up. A lot of people moving down. A lot of people moving everywhere.
So you're,
you know,
you're
agreeing
with
variety.
Keith. It's might be slowing down nationally, but it's active here.
And it's a variety. It's not.
Yeah.
And JD's referring one of the segments is that entry level buyer, first time millennial buyer. They are a large portion of what's happening in the real estate business today. So they have finally gotten the game, maybe three or four years later than traditional first time buyers. A little bit late to the party, but they're finally in the game. That's going to continue to keep pressure on that entry level price point, and I don't think that there's no end in sight to that.
No, I agree. You know, and I look down the list of, you know, kind of looking at my pipeline and whatnot. You know, I've got three first time home buyers. I've got two what I call move up buyers, people that are moving to a larger home, local moves. I've got two corporate relocate. I mean, it's a variety of different things that are happening. You know, and then next month, they're kind of the same. You got three or four first-time home buyers. It's just a variety of different types of business, whereas, you know, it seems like it was a little bit more segmented and one particular area would be hotter than another, you know, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, and I think historically we've talked about this, the relocation business, right? And then the range of other buyers would be of typical markets, but we always had that corporate activity that was the stability of our market.
Yeah, I do have a question about that, Keith, because we had, I don't know if you've ever been on this side of it, but we had a customer this week that instead of letting the relocation company handle it, they actually
took the money. Yeah.
And I was curious, you know, that we don't see that very much. Most of the time the reload company is involved, but the client doesn't take the money.
Well, typically the client, what Chris is talking about is most large corporations have added an additional type of cash package to the outbound seller.
So you're an outbound relocation, and they'll say, look, we'll just buy it from you right now and be done with it. Here's your net.
No, that's the historical approach.
Oh, okay.
So there's a new approach that just gives the seller is on his own. The relocating couple or employee is on their own. The company hands them a cash check for X. They cover they're on their own on the marketing, the real estate fees. If it doesn't sell, they're on their own. But they get a cash check. And most of the clients that I have taken the buyout. They like the buyout. It's a safe play.
Yeah.
But if you're in a particular place in the market, it might not be the right choice.
Well, listen, we're going to head into our first break. We'll be back. You're listening to House Plans. That's right. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson and Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark is here from the Buyer's Broker. We appreciate all our listeners and texters today. If you would like to give us a ring and give us a topic to talk about, maybe you have a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, we'd love to hear from you at 866-442-7553. That is the toll-free number. And, of course, you can always text us your comment if you prefer to communicate that way. The text line is 71307. We've got some great text questions over the last few months, and we appreciate everyone shooting those texts to us.
The one we got right now says, do you know the name of the plumber that advertises with your station that doesn't charge the off-hour service fee and stays open late?
Oh, well,
my answer do y'all know who that is?
I don't know. I do not know.
I think it's Davis, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
I don't know.
Go to the WORD website.
Yep, you'll probably find them there.
The partners there, the advertising partners.
Good idea, Keith. But if you got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with mortgage, you can hit us up on the 71307 text line. That's 71307.
And well, of course, I've got two things that actually that text kind of triggers a couple things to talk about. Okay,
to quote
and Keith,
Keith
always
Clark,
hates it when I put him on the spot, but I'm going to put him
actually,
on the spot.
Go ahead.
Well, the first thing is, we got property taxes, but we're going to put that in the parking lot, and we'll get back to that in just a second.
Yep, bills are coming out.
It got cool here. We've gone from summer to winter,
right?
All of a sudden.
Yep,
okay,
yep.
We skip fall again this year.
Well, we only get a week, and that was last week.
That's right. That's true. Okay. That's true. It's time to maybe start thinking about winterizing your home.
That's right.
Things that I know the buyer's broker always has a few off the top of the head important things that maybe people should be considering here in the next few weeks before it really gets cold.
What we're talking about is preparing for winter. Do your maintenance, fall maintenance checklist, really.
Yeah.
It's what it's about. And typically, when you're talking about winter, I think the standard things would be what everybody
should do
and is customary. And, of course, the first one is making sure your HVAC is functioning correctly.
Yeah.
So testing it. Now, you want to go online and learn how to do that with your heat pump, because you can't switch a heat pump back and forth like you can a gas furnace,
sure,
right? But you want to test your HVAC before the hard cold comes.
Yeah.
The other minor things are, the window seals and the tape around your doors, making sure that your house is sealed, that you've got a good envelope.
Close your vent.
And make sure that you don't have any exposed pipes. Most people today will put on, well, maybe not most people, hose bibs over your, depending on how cold it gets underneath your house. And as Chris just mentioned, close your vents typically. Now, there's a long discussion of that, but the closing your vents is designed to retain the heat underneath the house so that your exposed copper piping, the cold air doesn't freeze. And, J.D., you had one last year. Didn't you have a frozen pipe a couple of years ago?
A
couple of years ago, pipes were frozen, and we were lucky enough for them not to burst.
So, you can go online to any of the websites and get your fall checklist.
Leaves
your fall
are falling.
Maintenance checklist.
Gutters, all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's just a lot of different things like that. People should consider, and I think you could probably Google it and get a good list.
I always thought you were going down the path of the plumber, and I don't want to beat on the plumbers, but I would always say
beat on them.
When you're diagnosing something for repair, diagnosing it with the person who's going to repair it is not always such a good idea.
Right.
So if you call a person to diagnose a problem, and then that same person repairs it, it's not always the best approach.
Sure.
Now, in my case, I keep a home warranty, an American Home Shield home warranty on my
right.
house.
And which you can buy, right, Keith?
That's right.
You can buy
it right online, or you can email you guys, and we'll send you a link.
Yeah, sure.
You do not have to buy that just when you're buying the house.
No, that's right. And ultimately, the beauty of the warranty is that the warranty company will try to repair your equipment.
Sure.
Okay? Most people, when you call them for, let's say, my HVAC is 12 or 14 years old.
Yes.
They're going to want to replace the equipment because it's nearing the end of its life. But you may get 8 or 10 more years.
Yeah. Right.
And a warranty company, they don't want to replace it. They want to repair it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, do hit us up on the text line 71307. Or, of course, you can give us a shout at 866-442-7553. We do have our first text question of the day, Keith. It's we have a 4-bedroom, 2-bath home. One of the bathrooms is very small. What would it be, I guess is what they were saying, from a resale point of view, would it be worthwhile adding a 3rd bathroom?
Well,
and I can tell you when you adding that 3rd bathroom on a 4-bedroom home opens it up to a whole lot more, I mean, just a ton more buyers, because personally myself, I would not buy a house that had 4 bedrooms and 2 baths. I would keep going. I would. I mean, because I'm not listening to the kids fight over it. Just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Just move on. And I remember talking to you about this, but over on, in the Piedmont area, there was a what I would consider a high-end price point, you know, somewhere between $350 and $450. And I love to walk through houses. And I walked in there, and the particular builder was building 4 bedrooms, 2.5 baths.
Right.
I said, not for me. I'm not spending $400 and having people fight over a bathroom.
Well, that's the first question, Chris. You're spot on, because it depends on who the buyers are. So, right? So it depends
that's
on price point. I don't think today that if you're building or living in a $400,000 house, that typically the newer ones built in the last 10 years would not have a 3rd bath. So really it depends on the floor plan, the price point, and how long you're going to be in the house. Are you doing this for yourself, or you're doing it to prepare to sell? And all those factors will create a probability of whether you should do it, and will it reduce the days on the market and increase the return on investment?
Sure.
So if it costs you $20,000, are you going to get $20,000 back, or are you just going to get $15,000 back, but your house will only be on the market
30 days
instead of 110 days?
I think, you know, just for me, it would be a deal killer because of my wife's vote, because, you know, she gets an 80% vote, I get a 20% vote, and she'd be like, we're not having children fighting over this bathroom. Now, I will say, you know, the first house that I bought was a 3-bedroom, 2.5 bath.
Right.
And that was okay. It had
Did
a
you
Jack
have a bonus room in that house?
No.
Okay.
No,
Jack so that house sometimes has a bonus room that can be a 4th bedroom.
It sure.
A lot of times has a closet and a window in it, and it can function well as a 4th bedroom.
Exactly. But when you sit down, you know, Keith, and we've done this before, we don't have it now, but you know, we have gone through the list that NAR prints every year. They will say, do a survey, and they'll say these items will get you the most return on your investment. And as I recall, you know, kitchen, remodeling a kitchen is a big one. As long as you don't, you know, buy $20,000 appliance package in a 1,800 square foot house, unless you're downtown. And then the other one that is almost always at the top is added square footage,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you start adding square footage, particularly on you know, depending upon where you are, it makes a difference.
And that's assuming that the price per square foot has went up since your house was built,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you have to make the assumption. So if you're getting $100 a square foot 3 years ago or 4 years ago, and today it's still $100 a square foot, you add that you add that square footage,
right,
it's $100. If it costs you $75 a square foot, then you're going to net $25 a foot.
Right. Of course, and when I hear about adding a bathroom, the other thing I think about is functionality.
Sure.
You know, it's not. I wouldn't think it would be worthwhile to just go add in the bathroom if it kind of messes up the flow of the house.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, that sort of thing. So just something to think about there.
Oh,
you
absolutely. Know,
probably a closet, a large closet you're going to end up taking away or something.
Yeah, it depends on
something's
where you're
going away.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
And to your point, Keith, let's say that you were in a situation where you had a very large bonus room and it had a closet in it, and you could carve out a new bathroom that, to JD's point, did not bother the flow. It, you know, those kind of things tend to work. Now, Keith, if you just thinking about adding a bathroom, more expensive to add it downstairs or more expensive to add it upstairs, or does it really depend if you're on a slab or a crawl space?
It does. It depends on how the house was built, where the existing plumbing is, mm-hmm. how you tie into the main sewer line, and, of course, the kitchen and bathrooms of a house are the most expensive parts of the house,
sure.
right? So it's going to be a higher cost per square foot. And of course, the more mechanicals you have to do, the more expensive it is.
Well, you guys will appreciate this. It's just kind of, I was thinking about home remodeling.
I see a smile on your face.
Well, it reminded me. So Drew and me were sitting around last night and just watching TV or whatever. And he said, Dad, he goes, you know, the holidays are coming up. So apparently on
he's been working on his list.
Yeah. He says, I've decided this year that I'm not going to make a list. And I said, well, that's fantastic. You know, and in my mind, I'm hoping he's go, you know, I think we should just donate to a charity or something like that.
Yeah.
Wrong answer. He said, you know, this year, instead of asking for, you know, things under the tree and presents, I'd like to have a total remodel of the bonus room into an entertainment, you know, with two TVs, blah, 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 blah. A media room. I think that would be a wise investment.
A wise investment.
What he's thinking about is a sports bar.
He's thinking about
without
Fortnite and having his friends over.
The sports bar without the bar, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Then
we could watch multiple games at a time. Yeah, and all that. I said, okay.
Get you a couple of two or three 65 inches across the wall
exactly.
up there.
Exactly.
You know, we'll just invite people. We'll charge people to come in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was like, oh my gosh. You know.
Well, you know, it is very true that. You know, when you start making improvements like that, you really need to work through the math. You need to think about what you're doing, and you also need to think about one of the complaints I get from people sometimes is they will convert a carport or a garage,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and it will not be like kind space,
right, yeah. right,
and they will get mad because you know their house they think you know $115 a foot. But then that carport that was converted that doesn't necessarily have the AC, still has the concrete floor, it doesn't have carpet. It's not, you know, you have to walk down or walk up to get into it. You know, those type of things, while it's nice to have that additional heated square feet, sometimes it doesn't add dollar for dollar when you do it that way.
That's right.
Unless somebody can't tell that that's what it was.
And right. You know, Chris, what comes to my mind as you both of you were talking is that really you need some a professional to help you work through these things.
Yes.
If you begin a project like this under assumptions that are not correct,
right,
then you could end up in the ditch and not
sure. And let's talk about this too. I know you've talked about it, Keith. We've seen situations where one builder will buy an employee off of another builder's job site because there's a labor shortage.
Right.
And, of course, that makes it hard to find that quality contractor that can do it in a reasonable amount of time. I was talking to a painter, and I remember we had some work done probably 5-6 years ago. You know, called on Monday, set it up for him to come out the next Monday, so 7 days. And so I was thinking about having something done, and I called him. And he said, well, you know, give me 7 or 8 weeks.
Right.
And now this guy will show up if he says he's going to show up, but instead of 7 days, it's 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's during the end of the year.
Yeah, and the price is not as competitive, right? Because if a subcontractor doesn't want the job, they'll just price you out of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, just say, hey, it costs this. If you want it, I can do it. If you don't, I won't.
That's right. Well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. We appreciate the text questions we received during the first half of the show. If you got a question or comment, give us a ring at 866-442-7553. The text line will remain open as well at 71307. You're listening to House Plans, JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark's here from the Buyer's Broker. We're going to be up. So that's easy to say, isn't it? Guess we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson and Chris Roberts here with County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark here with the Buyer's Broker. And again, we are going to take your texts and phone calls. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, give us a ring at 866-442-7553. The text line is open as well at 71307.
What happened to Chris?
But before, Chris, we got Mr. Banks here, actually. Before we dive into real estate, we'd like to welcome a special guest to the show.
Oh, we have a guest today.
Keith, would you like to introduce this person?
Well, this is Mr. Banks. I think Mr. Banks is in the mortgage business, and he's from Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah. Actually, I'm from Cherry Tree Lane, somewhere in England. Oh, so that's how this thing works.
Where are you from, Mr. Banks?
Cherry Tree Lane. It's somewhere, smaller town in England.
What are you doing in Greenville, South Carolina?
Well, the kids told me to come down here for some reason and have to do some banking work, so I just, kind of humored them a little bit.
Well, we've got a special guest, Mr. Banks, from Mary Poppins, I understand. Now, I understand... you're doing this at Southside Christian School, right? Am I correct?
Yes, sir. The performance will be at Southside Christian School on November 15th at 7 p.m., November 16th at 7 p.m., and November 17th at 2 p.m. for a Saturday matinee and 7 p.m. on Saturday night.
Okay, and this is great. Now, Keith, you...
I happen to know Mr. Banks,
who is who we've talked about on the show many times, is Bennett, your son.
That's right.
And they're going to have three shows of the Mary Poppins, and Bennett is one of the main characters.
Yep, at the Fine Arts Department at Southside Christian School.
The tickets are available at... www.southsidechristian.org under the Fine Arts tab.
Yes. Yeah, sweet. So basically we wanted to get Bennett to come on and just introduce himself a little bit. He's in character. But also for people that are interested, they can go to southsidechristian.org. They can buy tickets for the Mary Poppins show. See Bennett, who, by the way, is doing a great job. See Bennett and live and a key son and it's a great they have three shows, I guess, is that right? Should be a pretty good show, huh?
It's actually four, but yes, it should be a
four?
Good show.
Yeah, good.
We have two on Saturday, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Now how let's talk to Bennett instead of Mr. Banks here for a minute.
Okay.
So how long have you been acting and how long have you guys been working on the play itself and getting ready?
I've been acting since I was my first play was when I was in first grade, but I really didn't get into it till I was in seventh.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good.
I think they do two plays a year, don't you, Bennett?
We do. We do a play in the fall and a play in the spring.
And what are you guys going to do in the spring?
In the spring, we're doing The Tempest.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, that'll be something right there, yeah. So now how much time have you guys invested into... the play itself, how long will it last? You're talking to a novice here, okay? My wife likes has begged me over and over again to go down to the Peace Center. And so typically I go to the Peace Center. I say, hey, Van Halen's going to be at the Peace Center this weekend. I'll go, or whatever. So tell me a little bit about how long you guys have worked, how long the play will be. And I know it takes some time. You got to learn your lines and all that kind of stuff. So
Well, we've been working since the summer. It's... usually a very long process of we all get together. Specifically, since it's a musical, we have a lot of line memorization, singing memorization, blocking cues. Uh-huh. So we started like early in the summer. We got our scripts before summer.
Wow!
So it's been, I would say, about 6 months at this point.
Yeah, wow. That's a lot of time invested, which I think is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, it's terrific. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Mr. Banks / Bennett, we appreciate you coming on. We would absolutely love for any of our listeners that are, instead of going down to the Peace Center that in November, what are the dates again? November 15th, I think you said?
Yes, sir. 15th, 16th, and 17th at... 15th, 7 p.m., 16th, 7 p.m., and 17th, 2 p.m., and a 7 p.m.
Yeah, so that must be a Saturday, the 17th. Yeah, too. We would invite all of our listeners maybe to head down. You can buy tickets at southsidechristian.org. You just follow the menu tab there, and you can find under the Fine Arts tab, you can find your tickets there. And, come see Bennett. Come see Mr. Banks. Come watch Mary Poppins. These kids have put a lot into it, and we would love to invite you guys down. So, Bennett, we appreciate you coming by today.
Okay, thank you.
All right, no problem. Well, listen, I think that's fantastic. Hey, I think Bennett's going to do an absolutely fantastic job.
They do a good job. I've, of course, been to every play.
Yeah, of course you have. Now, you go to all four? So,
I go to two.
Two. Yeah, okay. You go to
the first one and the last one.
Yeah, well, that's perfect. Yeah, I think that's outstanding.
That's terrific.
One thing I'll say about Bennett, he's very passionate about what he does. He does a fantastic job. And Keith, when did he grow up? I mean, he's a senior in high school all of a sudden. I mean, this a grown man just walked in here. I'm used to little Bennett, you know, coming in here, little 8-year-old Bennett.
It's remarkable.
It is amazing how, but you think about this. We've been doing the show. He was 3 years old when we started the show.
That's true.
So, you know, we've seen him grow.
15 years we've been doing.
I know. We've seen him grow up, and I was shocked when he walked in here, for sure. But
really amazing.
You know, they do a great job over there at Southside Christian. And, I will say this. I remember the high school plays that we did. I think they did, you know, Hello Dolly, and they did some of the other, you know, plays when I was at Riverside many, many moons ago. But those, you know, they do a really good job.
Oh, no, they put a lot of work in it. And you know what, J.D.? Sports in high school is more popular than the arts. But, you know, the arts has a long history in Greenville. In
Absolutely.
Fact, the support for the arts, both visual and performing in Greenville, is really what put our city on the map in
You're
the early
exactly
days.
Right.
So, and there's a lot of support across all community theater in Greenville, and Greenville's proud of it.
Absolutely. And I'll say this too, you know, my daughter Simone went to the Fine Arts Center, over at Wade Hampton. And I remember going over there. Now, she was, you know, visual arts, and she did a lot of, you know, she really did the photography and actually makes a living about it, you know, now. But the one thing I will say is, you know, we went and they had a play over there that they were doing. They had the music and all that kind of stuff. And I was really amazed at the talent that the kids that were over there. This is probably now 7 or 8 years ago.
Right.
And I'm, you know, it's still the same. I mean, the kids keep coming.
Sure.
But the talent level of these kids, you know, both from the acting perspective, from the music perspective, even the art perspective is amazing to me. You know, you can really see God's gift, you know, with the kids.
And, you know, we should, for our audience, Virginia Aldrich taught piano at Greenville High School, and most of the support for the arts grew out of that early program at Greenville High School. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's evidenced at the Peace Center.
Sure.
You know, originally $42 million. They raised another $24 million 2 years ago to renovate it. So Greenville supports the arts.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to get back into a little real estate here in the last segment. We appreciate all our listeners, texters, and phone calls. If you want to go to the top of the stack, give us a ring at 866-442-7553. That's a toll-free number. The text line is open as well at 71307. And we got a couple texts that came in that we're going to address when we come back from our break. Chris Roberts and J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. You're listening to House Plans, and we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD in the house from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. Appreciate all our listeners today. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, got about 13 minutes left in the show. You could hit us up at 866-442-7553, or you can hit us on the text line, which is popular today, at 71307. That's 71307. So we're talking a little bit about renovations, Keith, and we got a text question that came in that said, you know, they were looking to have some work done, and everybody agreed on everything, and then the day before it starts, say, hey, I need half the money to get rolling. Hit me in the palm here, and our texter said he hit the eject.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a couple of things there. I just recently did some renovations, about $9,500, so redoing a bathroom in Columbia, and I got a referral from the agent that sold me the house for somebody. And, you know, the first thing he said I liked is, this guy's done work in my house. And he made my wife happy. And I'm like, okay, well, that's two check marks.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually the place to start, right?
Yes.
Before you even
yes.
bid the job, you want to do some research on potential contractors, check the reviews online with today's internet,
yep.
check their LinkedIn page, check their Facebook page, check their reputation,
yes.
and know who you're getting a bid from before you get one.
Yes, and also don't forget, you can go to the South Carolina LLR and you can check and see if they actually have a license.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would also ask them if they're bonded and insured.
That's right.
And I would also do the J.D. Nelson Trust but verify.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because well, I can tell you, if they fall in a hole in your house and snap their leg, if they don't have insurance and all that kind of good stuff.
And that has happened before. Actually, that has happened
sure.
at my house before.
yeah.
yeah.
And I think there's typically limits on your insurance policy. In fact, it's one of the low limits on your hazard insurance
sure.
is the amount of money paid for someone that gets hurt on your property.
Well, that's a whole other conversation. That's why you have an umbrella
You're familiar,
policy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well,
yeah.
let's go back to the question, Keith. So is it typical when you're doing a, let's say, a small to medium project where you're not going to need financing, that the contractor is going to want half of the money up front?
The short answer is yes.
Yep. That's exactly what I experienced. Last 3 years, I've done two different types of small renovations under $10,000, and in both cases it was like, lay me half and then we'll finish up. But I did take the time. First of all, I got a referral from my real estate agent down in Columbia that I used when I bought the house. He said, hey, I've used this guy before, here's what I've experienced, here's his website, go check it out. And that is where you can make a lot of good decisions.
And that's the beauty of the internet, right? Research.
It is.
You don't want to make your decision on the internet about who to do business with, but you can do a great deal of research about virtually anything.
Yes.
And personally, I think word of mouth is almost the best referral type situation.
Sure.
And you can start with just a simple Facebook post.
Sure. Well, hey. I'll give you an example of that. You know, when I bought the house 4 years ago, he said, I got two contractors for you. This guy right here, you're going to have to call him every day, but he'll be cheaper,
right?
About 20%, but you're going to have to call him and make sure he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
This guy over here, as soon as you say go, he'll go and finish, but he's going to be 20% more,
yeah,
you know,
right.
at the price. And
right.
so, you know, you got to make up your mind.
You
and
do.
And that's an instance where the least expense, the cheapest,
yes,
is not the least
not
expensive.
The least expensive.
But right.
And I'll tell you this, you know, we've all seen this if you're on Facebook. Hey, I'm getting ready to remodel a bathroom. Does anyone have a recommendation?
Yes.
And basically what you're doing is you're asking your friends and people that you know and trust who has had, and I'll tell you, you'll get both good and bad. Let
sure.
me tell you who you don't want to use.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Let me tell
oh,
you
yeah.
who I would use. You know, and you can narrow it down to maybe two or three people, and at that point you can start your research and
yeah.
and that kind of thing. Make
some
phone calls.
And mine always starts with how long you've been in the business.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I begin my research.
See, my response to that Facebook page would list your house and move. Find something that's got what you want.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I do not want to live in this house
yeah.
while you're remodeling
oh,
anything.
My gosh.
No, yeah. You find a Ritz-Carlton, I go stay down there. Y'all call me when y'all are done.
I'll tell you what you don't want to do if you have hardwood floors is redoing your hardwood
while
floors.
While you're in the house.
That is a nightmare. I mean, that is a nightmare.
That's one of those where you say, look, we're going to go to the beach for a week. We'll come back.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that
because, Kevin, you know my brother. You did his loan up in Charlotte. And that's what they did. This week, while we were at the beach, him and Tammy were all antsy about this. I said, what in the world are y'all freaked out about? We're having our floors redone while we're out of town. And so they were freaked out that they weren't there to see what was going on, but they were excited when they got home.
Absolutely.
Like you, that's where you move for a week.
Yeah, you have to.
Disappear.
Yeah. So, well, there are a lot of hotels on the parkway, so maybe we'll consider that, you know, next time.
I think they build one a week out there.
They do.
I mean, good Lord. I haven't been down the parkway in probably 6 months. I went down the parkway the other day, and I was like, where did that hotel come from?
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing.
It is kind of amazing. Well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, give us a shout, 866-442-7553. Or, of course, you can hit us up on the text line, 71307. Well, JD, you said we're going to talk a little bit about taxes. What you got to say about taxes?
No, I was just going to say, you know, this time of year, and I'm surprised they have not hit the mailbox yet.
Yeah.
And actually, I was online yesterday. I had a customer call and had some questions about his property tax. Looks like they've done some reassessments, and that may be part of the delay in the taxes coming out. But I would imagine that this week, Greenville County will probably send out the tax notices for 2018. So it was a great opportunity for everyone to look. Don't be surprised if your taxes have gone up just a little bit. I've talked to three or four customers, and all of them have been reassessed at a higher value. So I think that maybe this was the year that they decided to do that, which will raise everyone's taxes a little bit. But also, make sure if it's your primary residence – if you bought a house in the last year, you have to proactively get that changed to the 4% tax.
And I will tell you, read that form carefully because the requirements now are a little bit tougher. You know, used to you could just go down there and say, this is where I live, sign a form and be done.
Yep.
We've had folks that have called back and said, hey, it wasn't that easy. We had to take a driver's license. We had to take a power bill. We had to prove car registration, insurance. We had to prove that we actually lived there. And then, of course, you know, you only get that 4% on one of them.
You know, I had a conversation with a client this week about taxes, and they asked me a question that I wasn't quite sure. I know my sister-in-law has her primary residence in a trust.
Yes.
And you can get the same 4% if it's in the trust, if it's your primary residence.
Yes.
But how do you go? You have to provide them with the trust documentation?
I believe the last person I talked to that went through that, driver's license, power bill, because, you know, those things are not going to be listed in the trust. They'll still take those documents even if it's titled in the trust. And then JD and I actually had one last year, and I think it was in North Carolina, but it was a situation, and I had never seen this happen, but you had what we would refer to in the industry technical term is you had a buyer and what we would call a non-occupant co-buyer, so co-signer. Mm-hmm. But they were both on title.
Yep.
And so the co-signer wanted to make sure, hey,
right,
if anything hits the fan, I need to know, And so when they went down to have their taxes changed, they said, we'll change 50%.
Right, that's right.
And I was like, whoa. So because one person was an occupant on title and the other person was not an occupant, they gave them a 50% discount. They gave them the 4% on half and the 6% on the other half, and that's not very friendly.
And, Chris, we should say what we're talking about is the default position for taxation is 6%. Times the millage rate.
Right.
Yes. 6% of the value times the millage rate. But there is one exception to that, and that's if the property is your primary residence. Everything else defaults to, everything defaults to the 6% rate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's important to know, and I know, JD, you've had this happen too, where people would decide, hey, I want to change my title from this person to this person. We want to put both on. We want to change it to joint right or survivorship.
Right.
We want to put it in a trust. Anytime you make a change to that deed, no matter, you know, if nothing else changes, but you change any part of that deed, it's going to default right back to the 6%.
immediately.
Did Chris, were they able to get the primary for 100%? That doesn't make sense to me.
No, they were not. But this was, like I said, it was a North Carolina property, and it was just a rule that they made.
Because what you're trying to do is the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law,
yes,
right?
That's
if
right.
If it is my primary residence,
sure,
I'm the only one that's living here,
yep,
then it you would think it would be taxed
you could,
at
you could get
4%.
It worked out, yeah. And I'll say this. I had a client this week on a deal we closed send me, he texted me a copy of the form. That the county sends out.
Yep.
It does say, you know, you must answer all questions on this application and provide all required proof. And that's in bold with asterisks and everything else. So, but, you know, it asks you questions such as, you know, the type of residence it is, single family, duplex, et cetera. Is this property held in trust, yes or no? And it talks about what you have to provide. Is the property being purchased under a bond for title or installment contract? Is the property owned by a single member LLC or a family LLC?
There you go.
It asks for your previous address and if that was your parents' house, if you were a renter or if you were an owner. And if you're owner and it's still owned, you have to provide a letter from the taxing jurisdiction where they are on how that property is taxed.
Yep.
All right, so that's the old, I'm going to have a primary residence in Massachusetts.
One county and another. Yeah, that's right.
Do you file a South Carolina resident state income tax return, yes or no? And then it says, please provide the following, a copy of your current South Carolina driver's license, as well as your vehicle registration for you to be eligible. It also asks you if your cars are even registered in the state of South Carolina.
Well, listen, I had a knockdown dragout of 3 years ago with Richland County over it because the house that was in Columbia was in Mitchell's name only, his driver's license, his voter's registration, all said that address, and they said, not the car registration. I said, he doesn't own a car. I own that car.
Right.
And she was like, sorry for your luck. So I had a knockdown dragout. Of course, I won. But we did have a knockdown dragout about
Chris
it.
Chris makes some quote chapter and verse, and he knows the difference.
And if
he
they don't, I know the chapter and verse.
He knows the difference between may and shall.
Yes, that's correct. That's exactly right. Yep.
Well listen, we appreciate all our listeners out there. If you need to reach us outside the show, you can hit us up at 331-HOME, that's 331-4663, or shoot an email to askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll be back next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.